Now, it is a painful fact of human experience that we are devastated when we face crushed hopes, broken hopes, deferred hopes. The Bible itself recognizes this problem. For instance, we read in Psalm 13:12, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is the tree of life." Now, people can develop real health issues. They can develop emotional disturbances and imbalances. They can develop psychological issues when their hopes get crushed. For instance, someone that's got a tight budget and they're just struggling to keep their head above water, and the anticipated raise or promotion doesn't materialize. That's crushing. Or perhaps as a child, you anticipated getting a brand new bike for your birthday or for Christmas or for some other special occasion, and it didn't materialize. A bride-to-be is crushed if her husband, just prior to their wedding date, whether the day of or the day before or the week before, gets a transfer or gets a sudden deployment notice or gets a station change or an assignment change, and all their plans get set aside or derailed or at least temporarily put off into the distant future or the unknown future. This is all very painful. It's worse when the crushed hopes are due to death in the family, like the death of a spouse, the death of a son or daughter, the death of your parents. Now, in a similar fashion, many are those in the rapture-watching community who've had their hopes crushed by the apparent delay of the rapture. I'm thinking in particular of some of the rapture hopes for this last month, especially those regarding the Feast of Trumpets. Now, we're talking here about believers who just can't wait to be done with their painful life, with their painful situation. They long for the coming of the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're longing for it with heart cries that the tongue cannot fully express. It just can't come fast enough. And they had really, many of them had really, really hoped that the Feast of Trumpets this year would bring an end to their pain and their discouragement and their frustration and brokenness and all their tears. And yet here they are today with Job sitting on the ash heap of their life, scratching on their sores that won't go away. This has led to some even doubting the rapture. Now, they're not doubting it so much on biblical grounds, but on emotional. We as human beings tend to run away from things that cause us pain. And their train of thought is, the rapture has caused me pain, so I'm going to run away from the rapture. And some are just merely really disillusioned. They don't know how to handle this situation. They're just discouraged and broken. And they took a big gut punch. Now, how can we reduce or maybe even remove this problem with deferred rapture hope? Well, it comes by simple knowledge. Biblical teaching that protects you like body armor protects the soldier on the battlefield. I'm going to give you six helpful principles. If you embrace these principles and enter into them and enjoy them and trust them, you will greatly reduce the disappointment and pain that many are facing when they have to face busted rapture theories. The first one is, don't attach your hope to an immediately soon rapture. Attach your hope to the generically soon rapture. Get yourself off of the hamster wheel of high watch rapture excitement, where you're just running around this over and over again, jumping from high watch to high watch to high watch on the hamster wheel. be high key excited about the simple fact of the soon rapture and be low key excited or even not excited at all about supposed timings of the rapture and rapture timing theories. The rapture is really soon in the big picture, folks, but it's been really soon for 2,000 years. The rapture is really soon when we look at the smaller big picture of prophetic convergence that's been underway since 1948, and we see it continue to accelerate and expand. And the rapture could, on this basis, be immediately soon. There's no denying that. We hope it's immediately soon. This is the whole notion of imminence. We can see the stage, for instance, being set for the tribulation, and this tells us the rapture is soon. But there's nothing in the Bible, there's nothing in current events, there's nothing in prophetic convergence that demands that the rapture happen this year or next year. Nothing demands immediately soon. Everything suggests soon and possibly immediately soon. But that's all that we have. Now, the second tool is to go more deeply into the long suffering of God. I want you to think about the story of Jonah. Jonah saw the iniquity of the Amorites, and it bothered him. He wanted to see them judged. God looked at the same situation, and he saw souls that could yet be saved. He saw a society that was evil, but not evil beyond the point of no return. So Jonah's desires for the world to be judged didn't quite line up with God's plans for extending the window of mercy before judgment fell. Now, the biblical principle here is God wishes that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. This is 2 Peter 3:9. In like manner, God delayed Israel's entrance into the promised land because the iniquity of the Amorites was yet full. And in a similar manner, the Lord's delay of the entry of heaven's army, led by himself, into this world is delayed simply because the iniquity of the world isn't full. The loaf isn't fully leavened yet. Now, here's a third tool. Enter more deeply into the patience of Christ. We don't want to, as we're looking for the rapture, entertain or cultivate a spirit of impatience. We don't even want to tolerate a spirit of impatience in our own heart. The Bible says through faith and patience we inherit the promises. You can see that principle outlined in Hebrews 6:12 and the surrounding context. Similar manner, we read in Revelation 3:10, because you have kept the matter of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of trial that's coming upon the whole world. So we live in the time of Christ's patience. This is the hour of Christ's patience. This is when we endure the ungodliness and iniquity of the world with Christ. This is while we endure with Christ waiting for the day of the sounding of the rapture trumpet. Now, Christ does want to come and get his bride. And he wants to get the ball rolling right after the rapture for the establishment of the kingdom. He's got that judgment work to be done before he comes down and sets up his kingdom. But right now he is currently identified with his bride. He's currently identified with the limited insight of the church. He does not himself know the day nor the hour of the rapture, although he does know the season better than anyone. So we need to enter into this patience. This patience is Christ waiting for the rapture and the hour of judgment. And this is what we need to wait for too. Enter into it with him. Now, the fourth weapon or the fourth tool is to be well-versed in Bible math. Bible math does not work the same way our math works. For instance, in 2 Corinthians 4:17, we read, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. Now, when we look at the pains that we face in our life, and we look at the struggling along for months or years in painful circumstances, we don't think light affliction. We think heavy affliction. And we don't think for a moment, we think this has been dragging on for months and years. Some of you have been facing difficult situations for a whole decade or maybe decades. But in the big picture of eternity, folks, when God looks at this, he says that our heavy-weighted trials is light affliction. And he doesn't state this so that we can go through some mental gymnastics of hyper-spirituality and convince ourselves that our heavy trials are not heavy. We're just imagining it. What he wants us to do is to enter into the fact that in the light of eternity, our heavy afflictions are light. And this is something that we can enter into on the spiritual level now, and we will enter into it in reality in eternity. And this heavenly math also looks at our long painful time of tears and sorrows and pains and says it's but for a moment. Again, this isn't mental or subjective gymnastics. This is simply entering into the fact that in the light of eternity, we've lived a very short life down here, and it's a moment in the big picture. So some sweet day and sweet everlasting. Let's say we're in there for 100,000 years of nonstop smiles and joy and wonder and fulfillment. And in that element, when you compare that to your trials in this life, it's like comparing Mount Everest to a grain of sand. It's like Mount Everest towering over a grain of sand. So here's another one. In Romans 8:18 we read, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed to us." Not merely revealed in us, because we're getting more than a resurrection body. This new heavens and earth revealed to us. This glorious creation revealed to us. The amazing infinite variety of pleasures designed for mankind revealed to man through God manifest in human flesh. So again, there's no comparison. Our math is not like God's math. God's math takes eternity into perspective. So I want you to take these glorious snapshots of eternity and let them be heartwarming revelations percolating in your heart, like a pot of coffee percolating on the campfire. Because these percolating thoughts are going to encourage you in the inner man, strengthen you in the inner woman, help you to keep encouraged in a dark, discouraging environment. Now, the fifth point, the fifth tool, the fifth weapon is to occupy until he comes. This concept is derived from Luke 19:13, where we read, "Be occupied until I come," or some versions say, "Occupy until I come." In other words, be busy until I come. Find something that you love to do. You're good at it, and do it with all of your heart. Go lead the best battlefield life you can. Find as much satisfaction and fulfillment as you can in this ugly, defiled sewer of the world while you're serving the Lord and laying up treasure in heaven. So hard physical work and hard creative work that we enjoy, these things can be very fulfilling. And serving the Lord can be very fulfilling. A job well done is very satisfying. Being active, folks, being active and busy in the work of the Lord is medicine for the soul. Six, enter into the spiritual reality of the prophesied disillusionment at the end of the age. Prior to the rapture, many rapture watchers are going to be saying, "My Lord delays his coming," Matthew 24:48. Now, let's put this in context. This can't be people in the tribulation. Nobody's going to talk like this in the tribulation. The ungodly don't own the Lord, so they're not going to say, oh, my Lord delays his coming. And the godly are going to be counting the days. They're going to be exact, well, at least within a day or two. They can count from the beginning of the 70th week or the middle of the 70th week, and they're counting the days. So they're not going to say, my Lord delays his coming. They know exactly when he's coming. This can only refer to the saints in the church age, at the end of this age, who are looking for and longing for the coming of the Lord, and things don't play out the way they had anticipated they were going to play out, and they start getting discouraged, especially as they see the continual gathering of darkness, Big Brother government, and things of that nature down here on planet Earth. And they're going to begin to fear that the Lord has delayed his coming. They're going to get disillusioned. Some will get discouraged. Some will walk away from the pre-trib rapture. But if you enter into the spiritual reality that this has been foretold to us, that it's going to happen this way, it's going to help guard you against being influenced by that spirit. So in conclusion, folks, take heart. Remind yourself on a regular basis of the glorious eternity that's coming. Look around you and focus on the battlefield opportunities before you. You have an amazing eternity coming, which would pop your eyeballs if you didn't have a glorified body. And you have amazing opportunities right here and right now. No matter where you live, you have amazing opportunities to be involved in the work of the Lord, doing the work of the Lord, being active on the battlefield. So enter into this. Don't set yourself up for disillusionment. Focus on the fact of the rapture, not in any particular suggested date, not in any particular theory, just simply on the fact that he's coming soon. We know he's coming soon. He said he's coming soon. He means exactly what he said. And we are now, with the prophetic convergence, we are at the end of the end of the age. And we know it's soon. It may not be as soon as we would like. May not be as soon as our anticipations would have it be. But it's going to be soon. And it's going to be good. And you will have your deferred hope replaced with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You will be dancing around and shouting in the clouds, and then you'll be enjoying the blessings and beauties of all eternity. And you'll be there for thousands and millions and billions of years. And your painful experience down here is going to fade farther and farther away until sometime you'll remember it for the last time.